creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
From Tuesday the 9th of April to Sunday the 21st of April, Nottingham sees the third Nottingham Puppet Festival 2024. And I thought it'd be nice to find out a little bit more about the festival. And who better to ask than Becky from the Nottingham Royal Concert Hall and the Theatre Royal to tell us all about what's happening. Hello, Becky, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Now then, this is the third festival. So how did it all start in Nottingham?
So it started, the first festival was in 2018, and I think I wasn't in post then, but I think the planning for it probably started about 2 years before. So at the time, the creative learning manager here at the theatre was a man named David Longford, who's very well known in the arts centre of Nottingham, and it was his idea. He basically was very into the idea of bringing the art of puppetry to the forefront of Nottingham, and then the festival kind of just evolved from there. Very, very successful. The first festival was huge. They reapplied for some funding and then lockdown hit. So the second festival was slightly smaller because it was in 2021, so things were just tentatively opening up. I was actually a volunteer on both of the previous festivals, so I was involved with a different hat on, and that was a bit smaller. But then we've basically sort of gone, you know, let's bring some joy into the city. And let's bring the puppets back, basically. So that's why we applied for the funding last year, and we built all of our application around the fact that we've got Life of Pi on at the Theatre Royal. So 2018, it was built around Warhorse, which is famously puppets, and Life of Pi the same. So we thought, let's centre that, let's have something that we can focus on. And that's where we are now.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, it all starts on the 9th of April with a free event at the theatre, the Theatre Royal, with Ronnie LaDrew. Now, Ronnie's been a guest on the programme, I think either last year or the year before. He's just a legend, really, where puppets are concerned. Zippy, of course. We all know from Zippy. And Zippy, we know we've had a hand, that's probably not the right phrase set, in Sooty as well.
Yeah.
But he's doing a free talk. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, yeah, so he's been Sweep and Sue, I'm told.
Yes.
But Zippy is what he's most famous for. So we've got a free talk. We do need people to book onto it, though, because I feel like it might get booked up. Well, I say booking. It's not about booking up. It's about if you're interested, come early,
yes,
essentially, because I do think it will be quite popular. I think he's got a talk, but it's in conversation with. So it'll be questions and answers. There'll be an opportunity, I think, to have a chat with Ronnie and just listen to his incredible career, really. It's such a great person to have on board for, well, what is actually going to be the kind of start and end of the Puppet Festival. So we start with Ronnie LaDrew. One of the very last performances we've got is Sooty's This Is Your Life. So it feels really circular that,
yes,
we've kind of got that going on. So it kind of bookmarks the festival, really, I think. So it should be a really nice event. I'm really looking forward to it.
And I know that when Ronnie was on the show, he knows how to talk. He's got a lot to talk about as well. And he's such a fascinating man. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm coming down for that because I want to meet Ronnie LaDrew.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot happening in the 12 days of the Puppet Festival. Tell us about some of the events, because it's not just at the Theatre Royal, it's all over Nottingham, isn't it?
That's right. It's actually started.
Oh!
It started in that we've got what we were calling our lead-in work. So as part of the Arts Council funding, we applied for some money to provide bursaries to artists, so that for artist development, you know, it's one of those things that arts funding, as we know nationally, certainly locally, is being squeezed. And artist development is one of the first things to go. Freelancers really struggle. So, I mean, we did apply for this prior to the current financial difficulties that some venues are facing, but it felt really important that we worked on artist development. So we've provided some bursaries, and one of those bursaries has gone to an artist called Kat Rock. And she is going to be creating two massive puppets for the walkabout that we've got on our city centre day. And in order to do that, she's working with three community groups. So it started 3 weeks ago, and she's working with a school and a couple of other community groups, meeting every week, doing puppetry workshops and informing her work. So we've got quite a lot of that sort of thing going on sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But in terms of the big stuff, in terms of the things that people might be really interested in, what we have got is a library tour that takes in 10 libraries and a community centre tour that takes in 4 community centres. And that starts on the 8th of April. And there are 3 shows going on. There's Teddy Island, there's Charlie Comet, and there's Eggbird. And these are family shows that are going to go around all these library spaces. I think they're on for about an hour or something like that. It varies slightly, but yeah, you could take an hour out of your day, take the kids along to see the library and community centre tours. We've also got 12 venues in total across the city that are engaged in different ways. So I won't be able to name them all, I don't think. So there's a Theatre Royal and Royal Concert Hall. We've got City Arts, who are the partner venue. So City Arts and the Theatre Royal have worked together to put on the Puppet Festival. And then we've got Squire and New Art Exchange and Broadway and Lakeside and Nottingham Playhouse and Stenton Market Avenues and Central Library. So we've got lots and lots of stuff going on. We have got, I've made a note so I don't forget, 5 talks and lectures. So Nottingham Trent University doing a series of talks and lectures for us. We've got 4 exhibitions, 9 performances, 3 films on at the Broadway. We've got 3 puppet cabarets, which I'm really looking forward to. And then a big city centre walkabout as well. So loads and loads of stuff on over the fortnight.
It's like the 12 days of Christmas, isn't it, with all this going on. So you mentioned the Life of Pi.
Yes.
And I mean, that's been going down amazingly all over the place, all over the theatres. Tell us a little bit about that, because I've never seen the theatre production. I've seen the film. And often you think, well, how's that going to, you know, sort of transpose onto stage? But from the pictures that I've seen, those puppets are amazing. Tell us a little bit about Life of Pi.
They are incredible. And actually, one of the puppet makers who's behind the Richard Parker puppet, so Richard Parker is the tiger in Life of Pi. Nick Barnes, we've also got him. So he's actually going to come and do a talk for us as well. We've got an in conversation with Nick Barnes. The tiger is... it's an exceptional puppet. It's really hard to describe. I mean, you have to come and see it, basically. But it's if you've ever seen the film, if anybody's ever seen the film or read the book, this tiger kind of goes between fierce and maybe not so fierce. It's always a threat, but it's not always about to attack. So to kind of get that into puppetry form is something quite masterful, really. And we do have a puppetry workshop with the creators of Life of Pi, so that's going to be amazing. I think that's starting to get quite booked up. So that, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to include in that puppetry workshop, but I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a guest appearance of some of the puppets featuring in the show at that point. So that might be something really interesting for people to come and have a... I'm not guaranteeing that. but that might be a really interesting one, because that will be about, I think, how those puppets are created, which is a kind of a next level art form, I think. Not just sticking a sock on your hand.
No.
A bit different to that.
Anybody who's seen Warhorse knows what amazing things puppets can be, because you end up, you're watching the puppet itself, not the puppeteer, and you really believe that it is a horse, and in this case, it really is a tiger.
Yeah.
And a lot of work must have gone into actually observing these animals to see exactly how they move, because they are so realistic, aren't they?
They are, and the puppeteers it's like they become the tiger or the horse or whatever it is. And what is really interesting, I've just sort of a little anecdote that came from a different part of the tour. There was a delay in one of the opening of the houses, I think on the first night, and the puppet was backstage with the puppeteers. And this is just an anecdote, I wasn't there, but I love the story that instead of being impatient as actors, they were kind of impatient as the tiger. They were in that mode, and it was like the tiger was reacting and sort of shaking its head, and they were like fully on board as that tiger. And I think as a puppeteer, that's what happens. There are apparently 3 basic tenets of puppetry that everyone must start with in terms of what you do when you've got this puppet, whether that is a sock puppet or a marionette or something bigger. The first one is grounding. It has to exist in the space. So you can't just have it floating around, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So it either has to be on the ground, or if it's in flight, it has to be...
flying.
In the motion of that. The second one is breath. So it has to have a life. And that very often comes with a kind of breath movement. And then the third one is focus. So the focus, and that's I think that's what you were sort of just alluding to, the focus is either, the puppeteer either focuses on what the puppet is focusing on,
yeah,
or focuses on the puppet, and that's it. And then that way the puppeteer and the puppet are the same art form.
Yes.
And I think that's fascinating, that's they're the three basic rules, and then obviously anything goes, I think, after that point.
Yeah. I know the first time I saw Avenue Q, and I've seen it several times
now,
I still concentrate on the puppet, yeah, not the actor who voices it. You sort of, after the first 5 minutes, you're sort of looking at the person, the actor themselves. But then after that, you just sort of gravitate to just watching that puppet,
yeah,
and you sort of blank everything else out,
yeah,
don't you? And that is a clever thing to be able to do,
yeah,
as a puppeteer, to make the audience member actually focus on an inanimate object. It's not once
yeah,
somebody gets their hands on it,
right,
but sort of a piece of cloth or whatever it is, and you really believe in that,
yeah,
person, don't you?
I mean, and it's amazing how just something like as simple as a piece of cloth can actually,
yeah,
take on emotion. And you know, and take on a life of its own. It's really interesting. And what I find fascinating about sort of having been immersed in puppetry quite recently, and going forward to be immersed in it, is the kind of the art of puppetry as an art form. But it's also got such a huge societal and cultural impact. So I mean, it's been around for hundreds of years, hasn't it, puppetry? But we can tell really important stories. So there is a story that is on. At the, I think it's at the New Art Exchange, let me just confirm that one, which is about female genital mutilation.
Right.
So it's a verbatim piece, and it's really, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of go, this is really vital work, and that's a difficult access point if it's people that are performing,
yes,
those stories.
Yeah.
But with puppetry, yes, it is New Art Exchange at Nikki Charlesworth, The Luckiest Girl Alive, it's called. And that's on the 18th of April. It's something that is really vital and really accessible in this art form. And that's not to minimise the art form, but it's very different, I think, if you're performing as an actor and you're trying to tell... You're trying to tell not just that story, but you're trying to get across the issues with something like that. It's a very, very different beast to,
yes,
to using a puppet. And I think this is where puppetry can really sort of speak to generations, different generations, and to more people, because actually it's not just about, I mean, it can be your Avenue Q and, you know, and all the rest of it. Absolutely, it can simply be just a lot of fun. Or it can be kind of vital. I think it can really open doors and start conversations. And that's what's really exciting about it. It's very, very accessible.
I think there's something like that as well. It takes away any sort of embarrassment from the person watching, you know, sort of listening to that sort of thing. But if it's a puppet or, you know, something that isn't actually alive, maybe they sort of, that embarrassment then disappears and they listen to it, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And it's exactly what we've just been talking about with focus.
Yes.
If you can focus on something that doesn't have real eyes and can,
yes,
look back at,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
even if in the moment that you believe that it is real, because that's kind of, you know, it's that willing suspension of disbelief. We know this is made of wood or whatever,
yes,
but we believe in it. And actually there's a kind of comfort involved in, you can stare at whatever that is and there's no comfort.
You can make eye contact,
yeah,
can't you? Which,
yeah,
maybe with a human being,
yeah,
there might be a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
Not saying it is, but
no,
it might be.
It's
yes,
just a different version of what it is.
Yes.
And there's a place for everything, but I think puppetry is quite, I think it's just a really important vehicle. I think it's a really good way of communicating things. And quite a lot of the smaller scale shows that we've got, so we've got a company called Lempen who are doing the Cardboard Carnival, and we've got some little tiny puppets and shadow puppets and things like that. And that kind of intricate work, that's also another layer. You can't see human beings work that small, because
no,
we're not that small. And you can't see human beings work as big as the puppets that we've got in the walkabout, because we're not that big.
Yeah.
So that idea of scale, from tiny, tiny little finger puppets and shadow puppets to huge, great big giants towering over us on Market Square, that brings other dimensions. We can tell stories in a different way. So on Listergate, on City Centre Day, we've got ancient giants coming. It's a battle between gods and demons, and they're going to be towering over us. And Again, you can tell that story in a theatre, of course you can, with actors, but this is a different take on those stories, and that's what's really exciting about it, I think.
Now, from a young age, most people have put a sock on the hand and pretended to, you know, sort of do puppetry that way. One thing which looks absolutely fascinating is the Eurovision Sock Contest, yeah. Which is on Saturday the 20th of April at the Royal Concert Hall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so these are the Scottish falsetto socks. They do lots of shows. They're on, actually, if you just look them up on YouTube, there's loads of stuff and you can have a wee look at it. They've done things like We Will Sock You, a version of
We Will Rock You. Yeah.
But I'm just going to put a little warning on, they're quite risque. some of the themes, not all of them, but some of the themes they tackle are quite adult. And that the Eurovision Sock Contest that we're having, it's on quite late. It's on at 10:30, and it's a 15+ show. So just to make it clear, it is sock puppetry, but it's fairly adult in content. It was a little startup business, as far as I know, a guy called Kev. Who started this up, and it's one of those things that just gained so much traction. It's hilarious. You can't help but laugh when you see them, and he just does such a good job. And he does a bit of merchandise as well. He makes his own merch, and I think this is what puppetry is all about. You know, stick a couple of socks on your hands and have some fun. You know, and actually, as performers as well, not everyone's an actor, but it doesn't mean you're not a performer. And you can kind of hide your face and still get stuff out there. So Eurovision Sock Contest is. I think from my perspective, this is the one that most people kind of hone in on and go, what is this? And I think that'll be really busy and funny. So yeah, check them out on YouTube, Scottish Falsetto Socks. They've also done, I've not seen this, but they've also done a musical based on the post office scandal. So they're not scared to get stuck in with stuff. So as I say, I've not seen that, but I think they went to Edinburgh as well. I think they were a fringe act. So yeah, definitely... We were quite keen to get them on board, so we were really pleased when they agreed to be programmed. So that was great.
That sounds something like to go down a bomb at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
And they're very Scottish. You know, the kind of accents are super Scottish. You know, they go
subtitles. Really,
yeah, really lean into it. It's hilarious. It's really good.
Brilliant. Now, then, we touched on this earlier on, but closing the festival on Sunday, the 21st of April, at the Theatre Royal, Sooty, This Is Your Life. Yeah. Now, I was, let's say, quite surprised that it's a 12+.
It is.
Does this mean that Sooty has got a few things hidden in his closet? Might be a bit risky.
I think possibly, and I think when we look at where Sooty Sweep and Suit sort of came from and the era,
yes.
I guess most of the people that are interested in that are going to be people of my age, and yeah. You know, like it was our childhood. And I'm not sure. I mean, I've got a 14-year-old, and I think he'd just look at Sooty and just go, "What is this?" You know. So maybe it's just demographically, it doesn't necessarily appeal to the younger generation. The official line is, we don't want children to come to break the spell. That we don't want to ruin the magic of Sooty. But I suspect it might be slightly adulting content. I think Sooty has got... I think he's got a past. And maybe we'll learn a bit more about that.
This
past.
Is where we could find out the real Sooty.
The real Sooty, yes. Yeah. And what's going on with Sweep and Sue? I don't know.
And I'll tell you what, them three, they haven't aged at all,
have
they?
They've done really well. We need the skincare routine, don't we?
That's it. All we need now is Basil Bush. He wasn't available this time around, but he has been to the Theatre Royal before. So where can people find out more about the Puppet Festival for this year?
So we have got a website, the Nottingham Puppet Festival website, and everything is on there that you could possibly need. All of the events are on. They're under date. They're under genre. Lots of interesting content as well. We've got blogs on there, bits of video, all the rest of it, but also in the individual venues as well. So obviously Theatre Royal and the Royal Concert Hall, as I mentioned before, Lakeside, and the Playhouse, NTU, Nottingham Trent University, Broadway, they're doing their own tickets. So... Squire, New Art Exchange, absolutely tons of venues across Nottingham. So the best place to go, I think, is the Nottingham Puppet Festival website, because that will take you where you need to go. We've also got socials, so on Facebook and X. And if you have a look on the socials, that's probably the best place to keep up to date with stuff. So we've had some of our artists do a takeover on Instagram this week. So they've come in to do some rehearsals for Teddy Island and Charlie Comet, so we just gave them the socials and that was chaos. That was great. And then things like I say, we've got blogs there, We're looking for volunteers to help out, and you can find out how to volunteer on that website as well, and on our Facebook page. So it's just an application form. It's basically a bit about you and what times and dates you're available. Be great. I mean, I volunteered, as I said earlier, on both the previous Puppet Festivals, and it was just really great fun. It was really lovely to be involved and to get to see everything and to kind of be at the heart of the magic, really, I suppose, with a high-vis jacket on, and helping people find their way around all the events that we've got. So, yeah, if anyone wants to volunteer, that would be really useful as well.
Brilliant stuff. So there you go. You can lend a hand in that, but just by contacting and getting an application form.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Becky. It's been fascinating. And I can't wait to see some of the stuff that's going around Nottingham in this festival. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.